Bree shifted Paul to one arm and rummaged in her oversized quilted bag, pulling out books, a candy bar, a pile of leaflets about an upcoming demonstration, sunglasses in a worn leather case, and finally, a bottle of wine, glimmering like garnets as she poured them each a glass.
"To love," she said, handing Nora one glass and raising the other, "to eternal happiness and bliss."
They laughed together and drank. The wine was dark with berries, faint oak. Rain dripped from the gutters. Years from now, Nora would remember this evening, the gloomy disappointment, and Bree bearing shimmering tokens from another world, her shiny boots, her earrings, her energy like a kind of light. How beautiful these things were to Nora, and how remote, how unreachable. Depression. Years later, she would understand the murky light she lived in, but no one talked about this in 1965. No one even considered it, certainly not for Nora, who had her house, her baby, her doctor husband. She was supposed to be content.
"Hey, did your old house sell?"
Bree asked, putting her glass on the counter.
"Did you decide to take the offer?"
"I don't know," Nora said.
"It's lower than we hoped. David wants to accept it just to have it settled, but I don't know. It was our home. I still hate to let it go."
She thought of their first house, standing dark and empty with a for sale sign planted in the yard, and felt as if the world had become very fragile. She held onto the counter to steady herself and took another sip of wine.
"So, how's your love life these days?"
Nora asked, changing the subject.
"How are things with that guy you were seeing? What was his name? Jeff?"
"Oh, him."
A dark expression crossed Bree's face, and she shook her head as if to clear it.
"I didn't tell you. I came home 2 weeks ago and found him in bed, in my bed, with this sweet young thing who worked with us on the mayoral campaign."
"Oh, I'm sorry."
Bree shook her head.
"Don't be. It's not like I loved him or anything. We were just good, you know, together. At least I thought so."
"You didn't love him?"
Nora repeated, hearing and hating her mother's disapproving voice coming from her own mouth. She did not want to be that person, drinking cups of tea in the orderly, silent house of their childhood. But neither did she want to be the person she seemed to be becoming, set loose by grief into a world that made no sense.
"No," Bree was saying. "No, I didn't love him, though for a while I thought I might, but that's not even the point anymore. The point is, he turned our whole thing into a cliché. I hate that more than anything, being part of a cliché."
Bree put her empty glass on the counter and shifted Paul into her other arm. Her face, unadorned, was delicate, finely boned. Her cheeks, her lips, were flushed pale pink.
"I couldn't live like you do,"
Nora said. Since Paul was born, since Phoebe had died, she'd felt the need to keep a constant vigil, as if a second's inattention would open the door for disaster.
"I just couldn't do it. Break all the rules, blow everything up."
"The world doesn't end,"
Bree said quietly.
"Amazing, but it really doesn't."
Nora shook her head.
"It could. At any given moment, anything at all could happen."
"I know,"
Bree told her.
"Honey, I know."